As usual, Jesus turns everything upside down. The two characters that we hear about in this parable could not be more different. Now, we're very accustomed to, I think whenever we hear Pharisee, our ears are kind of perked up and we're like, okay, Pharisee equals bad person. What Jesus is doing here, we have to read it and listen to it with the eyes and ears of people at this time. A Pharisee is somebody, was somebody who observed the law, period. They did the right thing. They understood the law well, and they did their very, very best to live it out in action. Okay? So to all eyes, this would have been a good person. In contrast, there is the tax collector. Nobody in that time would have said that this was a good person. Nobody. This was a person who defrauded people, their own countrymen, of money so that they could pay the Romans taxes for subjugating them. And they skimmed some off the top for themselves, too. So they would take money from you, give it to, again, let's just say the Chinese took over America. So they would take money from you, they would give some of it to the Chinese, and then they would keep the rest for themselves. Would you like this person? No. This is not a good person. And yet, in the end of the story, the tax collector's justified, and the Pharisee is not. Yikes. I don't know about you, that really bothers me. That really bothers me. As somebody who tries to do the right thing and yet gets nothing for it. But what is Jesus getting at? He's not saying we shouldn't do good things. He's not saying we should do evil things. What he's saying is, when we do the good thing, we should do it with humility toward God and with the right intention and the right focus. That focus, of course, is supposed to be the Lord himself. There's a phrase here in this reading that is very telling. It says, the Pharisee took up his position in the temple and spoke this prayer to himself. Not to God, to himself. He's building himself up inside. Oh, look how good I am. Look how righteous I am. Who is the one who gives righteousness? Who is the one who brings proper relationship back between us and God? It's God who really does that through Jesus Christ. This man has it wrong. It's not him that does it. It is the Lord. So he's not focused on the Lord, he's focused on himself. And that keeps him from being able to look at the tax collector in the temple next to him. It doesn't let him see him with love, but rather sees him in condemnation. I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm not like this bozo. Do we catch ourselves doing that sometimes? I do. I do that. And that just shows where in various ways my heart is not in the right place. You know? Rather, when we are focused on God and we allow him to inform us, and we are humbly before him, allowing him to pour himself into us, and we are humbly before him, allowing him to pour himself into us, to act lovingly toward the person next to us, even if they don't deserve it, quote unquote, deserve it. To that end, we're going to try to do something in the next couple of weeks that is a very, very old custom in the church, but probably has not been done in quite a while. It's called the 40 Hours Devotion. Anybody here remember that or know anything about that? Raise your hands. Okay, I see a few people. The 40 hours of devotion was a time of, and it is going to be, a time of Eucharistic adoration for, is what it says, 40 hours. And of course, the significance of the number 40 is very biblical, of course, but it is also the approximate number of hours that Christ was in the tomb. So it's a time of spending time with the Lord in expectation, keeping vigil with him, and also waiting for him to come to us in resurrected glory, you know, to come into our hearts in a special way. And it was also meant to stir up not only a desire and a devotion to the Lord Jesus, who is present to us in the Blessed Sacrament, but it was also, through that, meant to be an aid to help the community, the faith community, to come together more strongly, more deeply, which I think it does. And that's again, a hope that I have for all of us. You know, this is a great community. This is an amazing group of people. But I think we could all stand to be a little more godly and a little bit closer united in love and charity. We all have our, you know, conflicts and tensions and all of those things. Maybe you don't, I do. But you know, it's this, it's precisely tapping in more deeply with God that will allow those things to either fade into the background or disappear altogether. And rather that we could be truly a family as we're supposed to be. So, to that end, again, from the 7th through the 9th of November, we're going to have this 40 hours devotion. It will begin at St. Martin's Parish with the normal 6 o'clock Thursday night Mass. Adoration will commence there. There will be around 8 o'clock, approximately 8 o'clock in the morning, at which point the Blessed Sacrament will be translated down here, and at the conclusion of the school Mass on Friday morning, we will have adoration, and then that will go until Saturday night. It will close with Mass on Saturday night, the Vigil Mass, at 5 o'clock. And then thereafter, we're going to have a meal together. Those who want to participate, there will be a meal, cementing the fellowship that we're supposed to feel after we come into deeper fellowship with Christ. I hope that this is, and it'll be kind of a pitch-in dinner. There's a sign-up sheet for that in the back, by the way, just to let you know. So please, if you're interested in doing that, please sign up, and volunteer a dish or something. So, we can do all the good things in the world, but if they're not oriented toward the Lord, then what are they good for? What are they good for? But rather, if we do it for the Lord, and we come before him humbly, not saying we're owed this, but saying, you know, God, I want to do this for you. Whatever it is, we're going to be that much more able to let him into our hearts. We're going to be that much more able then to let good things pour out of our hearts onto others. We're not going to see them as obstacles or as reprehensible people. We're going to see them, even if they are not in the right place. You know, if they're like the tax collector who's a jerk and a thief and all these horrible things, you know, we're going to not look at them and say, oh, you're a jerk and a thief and a horrible person. We're going to say, I feel for that person because they do not know God, and I want to bring them closer to him. So you see, even the person that is not in the right space in their lives is one that we can love and not judge and condemn.